Hi, I'm Madonna Guy, and this is the Natural Alternative Podcast. Welcome. I'm here today with Chantel Fenberg. Chantel is an equine assisted learning facilitator, and I'd like to welcome you to the program today. Hi, Chantel.
Thanks, Madonna. It's great to have you here. Great to be here.
When we were first chatting about equine therapy, a few weeks ago, my only knowledge about horses was because when I did Bowen therapy about 20, 30 years ago, they did equine Bowen therapy as well. So that's immediately where my brain went, actually working on horses as a human practitioner, but you do something quite different.
Yes. So equine assisted learning is so I facilitate the space. Clients will come into the space. They're experiential sessions it's not quite counselling and it's not quite coaching. It's holding a space for people where they can safely reflect. They can get non-biased feedback in a non-clinical setting from the horses, basically. Sometimes they can... straight from the horse's mouth. That's right. Yeah. And, what the amazing thing is that, when you've got some stuff to unpack and when you're sitting in front of it might be a counsellor or someone in a clinical setting, often those walls don't really come down. But when you are out in nature, you're with animals obviously bring another aspect into it, which is like our energy. So they can read what's going on for us long before any humans can.
And people might not know that about horses, but I certainly have had clients in the past where dogs, for example, they will know when a woman is pregnant before the woman does. They'll just start behaving differently. Or we know that animals like dogs and cats can pick up on things like cancers, before people can. So there's all sorts of things that have been shown with animals where they're incredibly attached to human beings and the suffering and just that connectedness. It's definitely...
Yeah, absolutely. No, yeah, that's spot on. That's amazing in a physical sense as well, that they can notice cancers. So they'll pick up on things that the client may not have told me about. For example, a while ago I had a client that had some domestic violence at home, and it was, she didn't speak about it, and that's fine. A lot of our sessions they can be with either nonverbal clients or people who don't actually want to openly talk about it. And that's absolutely fine. It's still just as effective. But these particular old horses kept fighting only ever when she was in the paddock, only ever. So we can, create a safe space for her to reflect on that. And she doesn't have to reflect out loud, but as long as she's having that, the connection, the validation as well, and seeing differences, but the horses as well, they act in really unique ways that, even horses that I've bred, that I've had in my sessions, I've known them from the minute they're born, and they still act in ways that just blow me away. They truly do. They'll just sit down in front of someone, when that person, it means something different to that client, but it's a really beautiful thing.
So what sort of people come for treatment or for therapy? What sort of people do you see?
Yeah, great question. Great question. We actually get a lot of different types of people. So a lot of my work at the moment is with youth that have mental health challenges. Mm. There'll be depression, anxiety, or ASD, ADHD, sensory processing disorders and that kind of thing. And horses are amazing for getting that sensory engagement, helping re-engage kids back in life, especially when they have disengaged from school, experience with taking foster kids through these sessions. Yeah. And it just gives them a safe space to call home. It starts switching on their senses again, getting them back into their body, back into a safe space, and then starting to build relationships. When life has been too traumatic or they've perceived it as unsafe to build relationships with anyone in the outside, anyone outside themselves, they can start harboring this beautiful relationship with a horse that's like their first little rope of safety to the outside world. And when you've gone through a lot of trauma, you end up just hiding under all these layers of behavior and all sorts of things. Yes. But when you can slowly start to unwrap that in a safe environment, that it's really non-threatening because the human has taken a step back, and I'm still in the arena, obviously, because I've made sure everything's still safe for everyone. But the horses are the ones that take the steps to connect with them, you know, and the horses actually reach out. And in a way as well that, you know, the amazing thing is that the horses adapt to each person that comes in the arena. So, you know, certainly there was, for example, there was one non-verbal teenager I worked with, and he honestly, you wouldn't say one word, and that's absolutely fine. He agreed to come over and just stand beside the round yard, didn't want to go in with them, didn't really want to participate. So my two most incredibly affectionate horses actually walked the opposite direction, and my loner horse walked straight over to him, put his head on his chest and sat there for 20 minutes. Oh. You know, and this is a guy that didn't want to be there for 2 minutes. And when, you know, sometimes they create this bubble of, you know, something's going on. There's like an exchange of connection.
Yes.
And the horses go into this, you know, without making it sound, you know, too, it's not woo-woo, honestly, but it just, these things do actually happen. Anyway, and so one of my horses, Lorden, my big guy, went into this, it's just this incredibly calm, peaceful state. It's not sleeping. It's almost like a person meditating. They stood there for a while. We just held the space in silence, just stopped. When that exchange is done, Lorden just put his head up. The boy went, I like this horse. And after that, he spoke so much more. Like, it was just the most profound transformation. There's things like this that make me really validate this is the work that I can't not do, you know. Yes. So yeah, it's been a really interesting getting the work out there and just making it as accessible as possible for people.
And how did you get into it, Chantel?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so look, the absolute start was probably when I was a teenager. I took on traumatized horses from the Doggers, horses that no one wanted to ride, and I would help them through their trauma. Which,
so you'd already had horses, you'd been around horses your whole life?
Yeah, so I actually started working in a riding school when I was about 10, just volunteering. Right. On the, yep. Then I worked at a Shetland pony stud, and nice. When I got a horse when I was 13, and then I was never a serious competitor at that point, but I just loved learning. Just love learning, I don't know, what makes up a horse, why they are the way they are. And and that always led me on to us as well. Why are humans the way they are? Yeah. You know? And then our differences, and yeah, and I really love those reflections, and I really value them because they've helped me grow into, you know, they've helped me grow and turn pretty intense situations into, you know, good situations that you can grow from.
Yeah. I was chatting to a counselor yesterday, and he was he's been learning a new technique. I can't remember the guy's name, not the counsellor, but the technique. But basically he was saying that some of us, we get a certain part of ourselves that we then put all of our energy into. Like just say, for example, lazy. So you might say, okay, well, I'm a lazy person. And then that becomes 100% of your personality, and you can't do anything about the laziness. So therefore you just end up really disconnected with yourself, and you can't find that true sense of yourself, and you can't see the other 99%. And I'm thinking with people who are traumatized, they become the trauma. Mm-hmm. They become the issues that allowed them to be traumatized, or, you know, whether or not it's a fear or whether it's a anger or whatever it is. And he was saying that there's this technique that's been taught the last couple of years, and he wants to become a trainer in this, where you start actually speaking to that part of yourself that's been traumatized, or that's lazy, or that's selfish, or that's overweight, and you're just sort of saying, okay, well, how are you protecting me? Because everything our brain does is for protection, everything.
Yep, absolutely. Yep.
These horses that are traumatized, you think, well, why are they doing it? You know, what's happened in their little lives where they've been traumatized and they're building up their own ego defense mechanism. So I do wonder that energetic connection they're having with people. They obviously recognize something energetically about people.
Yeah, look, I think that the really cool thing is that you know, humans have that social conditioning of what's appropriate. Yes. Horses don't have that at all. If they, you know, if you have a really peaceful energy, they really want to be around you. You know, if you meditate in a paddock with horses, often they'll come closer and closer and closer, and they'll just absorb that. Whereas if you have that chaotic energy, which is often, if you've got unresolved trauma, often that happens, then, you know, it really reflects in the herd. So you carry that energy into the paddock and the horses all respond to that. And, you know, and where I go with that is a really important part of this work is that, you know, we are all absolutely, you know, on a basic level, we're all connected.
Yes.
Yeah, just because we can't see what the horses can sense, because, you know, we're not quite as attuned as that, but it doesn't mean that you don't still carry that energy around with you. So what you're showing to the horses, and whether that might be heaviness or chaos or turmoil or whatnot, even though the outside world can't see it, you're still actually carrying that around with you in the outside world, to job interviews, to relationships, to your conversations with your kids, to, you know, future opportunities. You're still carrying that around you.
Yeah.
So that's why I think it's a really beautiful opportunity to be able to clear some of that stuff and move through it in a really organic way without having
beautiful.
To spend years processing and, you know, doing it the hard way, basically.
Yeah.
It's a really organic process, and that's what I love the most about it.
And have you seen the responses after the treatment? So if people come back to you afterwards and said, hey, you know, after that session, this is what's happened.
Yes. Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I do have some I've had a lot of clients that are either repeat clients, like they'll come back or they'll stay in contact, because the horses, they, you know, they've helped them through immense periods of grief, for example, or, you know, they've just been that turning point that's just unlocked that thing that they couldn't get past. And it's just, and it's so effortless as well. It's not like we spent hours batting out and me asking them questions about everything, you know, because it's not actual therapy. I don't go into the deep psychotherapy part of it. I just hold the space and the horses can come through it. And I do have, obviously we have reflective questioning, and, you know, we create things in the space to represent the things in their life so that we can explore aspects. But it is, you know, it's a really emotionally safe place to move through stuff.
Yeah, beautiful. And for you personally, when you started looking after those traumatized horses, as a teenager, how did that affect you personally?
It gave me a real sense of connection.
Yeah.
And I think that's the thing that led me down that path, is that all of these roads lead back to connection. Then, you know, so some patterns that I've noticed with people and even in my own life, you know, it's so easy with that social conditioning to go and choose things that are very mind-based, that they're very logical decisions, that they don't fill your cup, but they, you know, it's like work, you know, earns good money, you do what you need to do, you know, it's the status of living, you know, you might be a doctor, even if you hate it, you know, you still go and you get the grades, you do those things that are very socially rewarded, but they don't fill your heart up. So then we have this, you know, what they've termed the midlife crisis, where you haven't followed your heart your whole life and you're wondering why you're like, I don't know what this is, but I don't want a bar of it, you know. So I really love helping people navigate that change to get back in alignment with themselves, their own purpose and their own calling.
So people even feel those sort of changes?
Very much. Yeah, absolutely. Yep. Yeah. So look, there's some emotional things with emotional support and whatnot that the horses support. There's a lot of that. But with the actual facilitation, often someone will come to me with I've lost confidence in this thing. I thought I really wanted to do it, but I can't go back to what I was doing. I don't know how to juggle this, you know, this push-pull effect within me. So, yeah.
So it's way more broader than I sort of imagined it could be. Like people can really come and have this. Yeah.
Incredibly broad. Yeah. So, I mean, even look, I don't do it with corporate groups, but others do. You can take a corporate group in and you'll give them an activity with the horses. The horses will still respond to what's going on within the team.
Right.
Yeah. So then you can reflect on that through the activity, make some changes, see how the horses respond, see how the herd dynamics respond, which will respond in accordance with the dynamics within the team.
And you've got a...
into that space.
And you've got a retreat coming up. in a few weeks. Is it in a few weeks?
I do, yes. It's a Women's Equine and Mindfulness Day retreat at Tambourine, which I'm really looking forward to. So it is, we're going to be taking a beautiful group of women through meeting the herd, doing some activities and exercises for the afternoon. We'll also be doing our meditation into the night as well. We'll be doing some campfires, damper making, and it'll just be a really beautiful afternoon, a time to reset and recharge and take some time out and switch the mobiles off, importantly.
Yes. Oh, and, you know, and I was just even wondering there before, because animals are out in the environment all the time. We'll chat a little bit more about that retreat later. But because animals are out there in the environment with the Wi-Fis, with the pesticides, with water that might, like, because you've been doing this for quite some time or looking after horses for most of your life, have you seen anything bizarre going on with horses with, like, do they get affected by 5G and EMFs that you've noticed or?
Yeah, look, I could only think that they're the same as us, to be honest. So, you know, nothing directly, obviously. It's not like, it's not like something just pops up. But, yeah, generally, like, I won't put them in a paddock if there's over power lines overhead or anything.
Yeah.
I think it's just the same protection that we need for our own bodies. You know, horses are the same. Our dogs are the same. I think we should all have a right to that protection. So,
because there was a 100-year study done in America about anxiety. So it does sort of make me wonder about animals as well, because I'd never really thought about it. So every 10 years for the last 100 years in America, they do, I think at the same time they do their census, or the equivalent of the census in America, bunch of questions. And basically what they found is with those questioning over the last 100 years is that every 10 years people are about 10% less resilient.
Really?
Yeah. Wow. So basically the resilience is going down, you know, and that is, of course, happening around the world. And I know that things like EMFs affect our brains, make us more anxious. So the protection we need to do to stay grounded, to keep our vibration high, you know, all of that sort of stuff. And animals, I suppose, maybe they're lucky because they're living out there in the environment and they're not on their devices and watching TV and, you know, drinking too much on a Saturday night. Maybe they're partially protected from all of that automatically.
A little bit of screen time help, but for sure.
Yeah. How many horses do you have?
I have four.
Yes.
I have four at home. Oh, I have four. I have three at home, actually, and one at the wellness retreat that we're going to be doing. So, yeah, and they've been amazing. Two of them have bred myself.
Yes.
And so they're like, they do become your children a little bit because, yeah, they just do. So then I've got two others. One I've had for 12 years now. Jack, he's my main competition horse. Actually, you can probably see him in the photos up there. And my main competition horse, but I stopped competing about 2.5 years ago.
Yes.
And he's looking.
Did you enjoy competing?
I loved it so much, absolutely so much. And I'll never say never that I won't go back, but I actually had an accident at the time. It's ended up just making jumping quite difficult for me with my knees. So, But I still, I'm a Equestrian Australia coach as well. So I still coach eventing. So I'm literally in the sport, but I just don't actually ride and compete now. So
Do your horses work with other people with events or mainly just the facilitation these days?
Just the facilitation these days.
Yeah.
And that's the thing that really amazed me about Jack is that, you know, he was a fabulous eventer. Very bold cross country. Just he's got such a big, passionate heart, you know. And then in the ring, I actually was wondering, because obviously before we use the horses in sessions, we make sure that they're safe around vulnerable people. And, you know, we just want to make sure that they are very quiet and whatnot. Jack wasn't that quiet when he was eventing. So I did a lot of testing before I ever used him. He is just the most incredible, incredible therapy horse, even much better than even an eventer. I just think that this, you know, certainly I feel like it's my calling, but I really think it's his as well.
Yeah, that's so nice. So you can see their little personalities, I can imagine, and which one would be your softest horse or your, you know, your gentlest horse? And would Jack be your strongest horse or is that the wrong word?
Yeah, you know, it's funny because for different people, they it brings out different traits in them.
Oh, wow.
My gentlest horse is probably Lorden, who's my largest horse. He's a beautiful, very well-bred warm blood. He's probably 7-year-old now. He's 18 hands, though, so his back is over my head. And my 5-year-old niece works with him, and he's just, I mean, she's about the same size as his head. He's just so gentle with her, though. You know, she can walk him up the paddock, and yeah, you know, it went from her being obviously quite frightened of horses, because a lot of little kids are, to her saying, I want to take Lorden for a walk. Where's Lorden? You know, and it just gives her this little sense of empowerment, and I know that she's safe. He's just unflappable, extremely quiet.
Yes.
Jack has been amazing for kids that are a bit more, well, people in general who have been a bit more gung-ho, you know, that personality, that really quite extrovert. Jack's very much extrovert. He really meets them where they're at. He's very expressive. He makes his thoughts known. And yeah, he's a lot of fun working with him, because he doesn't leave anything to being polite or anything.
Yeah. And there's always all four horses in the ring with them?
No. So at one of the facilities I work at as well, down at Narang on Wednesdays, I work with 10 horses in the arena.
Oh, wow.
It's about a 2-acre paddock. So they have a choice. The horses actually choose to be in the sessions or not. So when the person comes into the paddock, the horses obviously sense that, and they will organize themselves as to who wants to be in that particular session. Some horses that are really sensitive,
yes,
won't be compatible with some clients. But I'm not the one to gauge that either. It just might be what their emotional load is on the day. You know, if they've had some heavy sessions that morning, often they'll choose to leave. But yeah, it's a really distinct thing that happens usually between sessions. They sort of sort themselves out as to who wants to be in a session.
Yeah. Actually, yeah. I don't know whether we've chatted, but the bioresonance machine I use actually does have, you can do horse chakras and bloods in it. Yeah. So one day we'll have to play around with that too.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah.
So amazing. I haven't done any horses. I've done a few dogs, but I haven't done any horses yet.
Yeah, wow. That would be so fascinating to see what that brings up.
Is it sort of because I don't know where the chakras are, you know, now that I've done a few dogs, it does check all the, like, all the emotions and bloods and chakras in dogs. So I'm imagining it does a similar thing with horses. And one of the guys in the States who's using the bioresonance, he uses it all the time instead of ever going to vets these days. He says, no, this sort of shows stuff well before. Because bioresonance, because it's energy, you know, it's before, you know, that physical effect of an X-ray or that physical effect of a infection, you know, it's happening there beforehand, which is, you know, once again, the energetic work you do, it's before everything. People don't even know they're feeling things a lot of the time until they see it.
Absolutely. And it's such an important thing, like, obviously, that the bioresonance machine can do it, horses can do it. I feel like humans are kind of moving in that direction where it's our job now to, you know, raise that vibration, tune into that, so we can be more attuned to other people.
Yeah.
It's such a different way of living. And I believe that so much. There's so much we can do to sort of shed that old energy. And it's part of the, you know, I tend to believe it's part of the reason that we were born here is, you know, to go through stuff, and you can either collect forgiveness, these layers of, you know, resentment, sadness, anger, grief, and all of the things that, you know, we've all been through. We've all been through these things. We have that choice whether we want to build those layers up like a rubber band ball, or can we just pull off one rubber band at a time, you know, just one at a time. And then, you know, that ball starts getting a little less and a little less. And then you start getting into this refining, which is just an amazing process, whether you use, you know, breath work or, you know, your ice baths and the equine therapy, or, you know, there's so many ways to start refining and get to a better place so you can shed those old layers.
Yes.
And you can start becoming, you know, I really think our intuition switches on as well. And I think everyone has, you know, everyone has intuition. It's just about connecting.
And with your retreat coming up. I imagine that's the sort of thing, because it's a whole day and people have given themselves over to the day. And it's almost like such a relief for some people to go, okay, I'm putting myself first today. Doesn't matter what I do, it's going to be exactly what I need.
That's exactly right. Yep. Mm. And it is a time to put your mobiles aside. It is you time. You know, there's a lot of people have are coming by themselves, which I actually really love, because often we do things that we expect, that we think others expect us to do. So we sort of live in other expectations. So to come by yourself, you're freeing that space up to explore different parts of yourself that you might not have explored so much if someone you know is right beside you and they have certain expectations of your regular behavior.
Yeah.
So I really, I'm really looking forward to that.
And I know that one's for women, but do you work with just as many men as women, or is it more women that you're working with? Like, who's attracted to this work?
Yeah, there's definitely more women, and generally in the healing space that's, I'd say that's pretty normal.
Yeah.
I probably got a split of 30% males in clients for me.
Yes.
Yeah, and I just thought a women's retreat as a start, because Mother's Day is coming up as well, and I really love that healing space, and I just feel like I've had a lot of interesting, you know, we'll call them signs lately that, you know, I really want to create an amazing women's circle on a regular basis that people can come back to. And I don't know any in that area either that are running.
So yeah, that's up on Tambourine. Yeah.
Actually not on the mountain, that's down the bottom of the mountain on the north side of it. So it's near Cedar Creek, Luscombe.
Oh, beautiful. Yeah, Thunderbird Park, that sort of area. Yeah,
that's it. About 10 minutes from there, 10 minutes back towards Beenleigh. So it's actually not that far from the highway.
And how do people apply to be part of that retreat?
Yeah, so just jump on either my website, which is stridesofchange.com.au, or jump on Facebook and send me a message. And, you know, if you've got any other questions, I'm happy to answer them. And then I'll just send you a form then, and we can either have a 15-minute discussion and just make sure it's a fit.
Nice. Yeah. Do you have a brochure done up yet, Chantel?
No, I actually don't. I have an online events brochure done up.
Okay.
So they can access that through Facebook.
Because I'm thinking if you had something, I could pop it on my New Leaf Natural Therapies page as well. So
and I've got a digital brochure. Yeah.
Yeah, beautiful. Yeah. No, I'd love to support that. I imagine it's a maximum number of people you would have in the day. You couldn't do a huge number with that, I can imagine.
Yeah. I'm keeping it at 10 at this point.
Yeah.
Because I want it to be a really sacred and sort of that emotionally intimate space where people feel safe enough to share.
Yes.
And not that I expect it's going to be a particularly emotional day or anything, but I just know that creating a safe space is absolute priority. Absolute priority. Then if I think that we can, you know, potentially open it up to more people in the future, then I'll consider that. But I never want to trade off that feeling of, you know, that feeling of togetherness where it's an actual connected circle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because over the years I've been at courses where there's been hundreds and hundreds of people with hands-on work, you know, and it just sort of, it really does lose something, you know, it loses that connection with the facilitator. It loses that ability to get support in moments when you need support.
Exactly. Yeah. And I don't want that washout feeling, because I've certainly had that at places and retreats before, and that's definitely not what I'm about. I do have another program coming up. It'll probably start next term. It's an 8-week program integrating EAL sessions, equine assisted learning sessions, with online coaching. So I'm hoping to just make it available and more accessible to more people that can't come for the equine coaching every week.
Beautiful.
So, but details will be on the website for that.
That's an 8-week course.
Yeah, 8-week program. Yeah. Yes.
And when's the term start for you?
The term start, that'll be in June.
Right. Yeah. 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 And I was thinking, my brain was going, 21st May, that's our election, isn't it? So nice to do something to raise the vibration of Australia on the day. You'll have everyone going off to vote, you know, at morning tea and lunchtime.
Yeah, well, I have actually left it, so it only starts at midday.
Oh, very good.
Yeah, they've got that morning and then we'll go into the night.
Yes. And what other information can they find on your website, stridesofchange.com.au?
Yeah, so on the website you find what we do, whether it's down the coast, who we help, my online program, and the retreats coming up, and a little bit more information on exactly what equine-assisted learning is, the difference between equine-assisted learning and equine-assisted psychotherapy, which is done with a team of which consists of an equine specialist, a mental health specialist, and a team of horses. And I did that model for a very long time, but sometimes it's not as easy to get a psychologist into the paddock as far as accessibility and that kind of thing. So
cost-wise, I would imagine that would end up becoming challenging as well, you know, with all of those humans and horses.
That's exactly right. And I found that price-wise, it sort of went up to closer to about the $300 mark per session.
Yeah.
And I just found it wasn't accessible to the people that I know that I can help. You know, I can help a lot more people if I make it a bit more, accessible on every level.
Yeah, beautiful. Yeah. And for people with, say, NDIS and disabilities, is there any, and I know there's not for me, you know, we lost all of our health fund rebates a couple of years ago. Is there any support for people within those sort of programs beyond Google?
Yeah, so it is around the community support. So it's, I certainly, you know, if I can invoice the clients and they can put it towards community interaction activities. So, yeah, no, that's fine. I think a lot of my clients are NDIS.
Yeah, right. That's amazing. you just don't know what the government will support at any time. Sort of nuts, isn't it? Yeah.
Look, I'm certainly not classed as therapy. That's really something I'm really clear about.
Yes.
And to every client before we have a session, we have those discovery calls about that. But it certainly can be included as a community activity.
Because I'm starting to see more children again, you know, sort of the 13 to 15-year-olds who are really suffering anxiety since the whole COVID lockdowns and these whole challenges and wearing masks for so much of the last 18 months. And it just feels like, and in fact, one mum I chatted to this week and I sort of said, well, how are you coping with, I must have asked something about the daughter's friends and the mum said, no, they're all going through the same thing.
Wow.
And it just like they're all feeling that same lack of connection and lack of ability to get out of the house and, you know, that depression and fear and anxiety that's just so rife at the moment.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And I find that as well. There's been a lot of hiccups with, a lot of us have had the roots upheaved a little bit with changes that we've had to make to, you know, to function and get through while all of this stuff is going on, and clients have been the same. Absolutely. I deal with a lot of teenagers at the moment. A lot of anxiety comes up around that stuff very much. But I think that's it. The horses is a perfect place to be for that. Anxiety is, you know, I would say 90% of my clients probably fall into that bracket.
Yeah,
I'm having that as something that they'd like to address. And the horses, you know, the horses have this amazing thing that when you stand close to them, the HeartMath Institute has actually showed that they regulate your heartbeat. They can actually slow your heart rate down, you know.
So the boy with the horse on his chest for 20 minutes, you know.
Yep. So much connection. Yep. And that's not the first time that's happened, actually. It's such a beautiful moment. There's so many beautiful moments.
Lorden. Was it Lorden who did that?
Yeah. There's so many beautiful moments like that where in someone's time of need, where they literally just do not have words.
Yes.
They just find a way of connecting. And it's often never the extrovert of the herd.
Yes. So it's nice to know that people can do it via Zoom coming up to the next term and be able to, experience this from anywhere as well. Because I think there's so much healing that's going to be needed on the planet over the next few years. You know, there's a couple of years where we've been taught again that humans are dangerous, we can get infections even if we're not sick, you know, all of this sort of stuff. So I think we're going to need a whole new level of empathy and sympathy for all the humans around us who have been damaged and injured over the last few years because of the trauma of the fear that's been pushed by.
Yeah, very much.
You know,
and I'm finding that people's that window of tolerance where you'd normally have a lot of patience and empathy and, you know, you just have that pause before you respond to things. People have lost that, you know, so that it's we're just constantly living in this reactive environment and really seeing the effects of that. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely true.
So, yeah, I'm hoping by bringing this work online that it can offer another way of connecting when other ways of connecting have obviously minimized at the moment.
Yes.
Connection is just it's such a big thing, and it's certainly one of the core words of my business. So
yeah. Well, my Dr. Zach Bush, who I was listening to this morning, I actually shared it onto my New Leaf page. I think I've shared this same video about four times in the last 2 years. I just love him so much. And he was talking about how individual cells are not acting like normal individual cells because they're toxic and damaged. Mm-hmm. So then he said, well, how can we as humans act as a normal human being when each individual cell is struggling because of toxicity or injury or damage? And then he said exactly the same that you said. We're all connected on this planet. How can one person be injured and one person not? And, you know, we're like this, we're this massive microorganism on the planet, all living on Mother Earth. And the more we can do to make Mother Earth more happy and healthy and the planet more happy and healthy, the happier and healthier we're all going to be.
That's exactly right. And it really is that matter of that lift as you rise. You know, as we all go up, you're like a helium balloon that's joined to the next helium balloon. You know, we all kind of shuffle up together, you know, and it's such an important thing. And, you know, I really believe that there's so many modalities that can help someone, and it's whatever modality speaks to you, you know. Yes. Some people, you know, just have no interest in meeting horses. It's just way past their comfort zone. They're not comfortable. Others I've known that, I mean, they've been on the sidelines of seeing horses, you know, and they're in their 60s, but they still want to meet one day, you know, and they haven't shut that door, you know. So if you, you know, it's one of those things, if you feel a calling that you just want to meet a horse, you just want to experience, like, what is this curiosity that I have? You know, there's so many people that have had those conversations with me. Yeah, I'd really encourage you to just explore horses in some way, because they really have a lot of magic to offer, especially in that connection and getting you connected when you've lost yourself in life. It's really
profound. What's the youngest little human being you've worked with?
Four?
Yeah.
And it's more when it's that age, it's obviously more around sensory, around being around the horses, around doing things rhythmically. I take people through breathing exercises because I do think that stress, you know, that's one of the first things that shuts down when we're stressed is our breathing. And we start shallow breathing and there's just a knock-on effect after that. Yes. We open up our posture again, open up our breathing, start getting into the rhythm, even whether it's brushing the horses, start understanding a little bit about behavior of the horses. And look at the session itself is really designed around the client, whether it's very much a sensory session or it's a building obstacles and putting reflections on them session, two completely different concepts.
And how long is a session for most people?
Yeah, up to an hour. We say about 45 minutes. Kids, once they're cooked, we call it, you know, once they're up to their, you know, attention span, you let it go. It's generally about 35 minutes, you know, because it is about them being engaged and being present. But generally 45 minutes.
And I imagine the parents get something out of it as well when they're seeing their children opening up and working through hurdles, so to speak. Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah. Yep. And it's funny because, you know, sitting watching the sessions, they obviously they can't hear what we're saying or anything, but it just looks like we're sort of walking around the paddock and then we stand there for a while and then we walk around the paddock a little bit. Like it doesn't make sense to a bystander.
Yes.
They just know that when their child comes out for the next week, they're buzzing, you know, they're shining. They've got that more emotional regulation, which is another really great benefit of the work. You know,
it really does sort of, you know, the whole everyone living in cities these days, it really doesn't work well for us, does it?
It doesn't work.
You know, we're really meant to be in nature. We're meant to be on the grass. We're meant to be, you know, we're meant to be outside.
Absolutely. Yep. Absolutely. And, you know, I really, I'm a believer in sound as well. You're like, you know, even the natural sounds, you know, they say that the purr of a cat is it's like a similar frequency that assists in healing broken bones and that kind of thing.
Oh, wow. Like I hadn't heard that, but it does make sense. Yeah.
Okay. You know, like just certain sound frequencies are used for healing. And I just think that when I'm around horses, there's something about horses chewing, their footsteps in the grass, you know, at the same time, the birds, the crickets, every tiny little micro sound that you can hear when you shut your eyes, it turns your senses on, you know, it brings you back home to yourself, to be the human that I think we were supposed to be. You know, instead of shut off being overstimulated in city life, it brings you back, it grounds you in nature, it brings you back to your five or six senses, and it helps you be what we actually, you know, we're meant to be. This is how you connect with yourself to then bring your gift to the world, knowing that everyone's got a gift to bring. How do we get in connection with that? Come back to nature.
Yeah. Ian Gawler is a guy who wrote a book about cancer going back, I don't know, 40 years ago or something. He lost his leg. He had this bone cancer head to toe and basically started meditating, and he runs these huge meditation groups down in Melbourne, Victoria, and I think he's now got a centre up here at the Gold Coast. But he spoke at a conference I was at 5, 6, 7 years ago, and they'd finally proven that by being on the earth, on planet Earth, and it did not matter whether you were in a forest, whether you're on grass, whether you're on the ocean, you know, sand or dirt, but we actually get antioxidants from the earth.
Yeah.
So there's like a layer about 6 inches from the earth where simply being on planet Earth is actually giving us nutrition for our bodies. Then in the last 2 years, there's another doctor I love, Dr. Christiane Northrup. Actually, Ian Gawler isn't a doctor. He just facilitates people healing in cancer naturally. Mm-hmm. But Dr. Christiane Northrup, who's one of the naughty dozen who, you know, says we've got immune systems and stuff like that. Yeah, can't say that. And and she said that they've now even shown that you can, even just being outside and being on concrete, you still get antioxidants. So they've had to sort of update. So it's really quite amazing. Planet Earth, gotta love her. You know, she's trying to look after us, and we're doing our damnedest to ignore her. You know, it's it's like, come on, what do you need to do? Yeah,
it's amazing, honestly. Yeah, and you can, I just think that you can feel the difference so much. Like if you don't go outside and you don't, you know, have that time in nature for, say, 3 days even, how different are we?
Yeah.
You know? It's like when we get sick and then we emerge from this cocoon just like, oh, God, I need life again.
Yeah, absolutely.
I regularly just go and I take Levi, my dog, my beloved little dog, down to the beach quite regularly, and it's just such a beautiful recharge time, and, you know, the salt air, and you can, just the smell of grass, and it's just so beautiful, and it's peaceful, it's recharging, it's reconnecting.
Yeah.
That time's really important.
Yeah. So anyone can contact you for anything they're going through, basically, even just to reconnect with earth and with life. And like, it feels like if someone's disconnected from just about anything, this is going to help.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's my passion, is helping people navigate change through reconnection, firstly with themselves, and whether that's through horses or through, you know, some other activities that I do. I do experiential learning through coaching as well. Yeah, absolutely. I love helping people, just supporting people through change.
Yeah. And I think coaching, it's one of those things, when you find a good coach who you connect with, you can do anything with them.
Yeah.
You know, it's because it's just really, it's that connection, having that extra voice and that extra support out there in the world. I often joke, and this is just a joke for all the single people out there, but I often joke that single people are the crazy ones, because they've got only their own thoughts in their heads, you know. So when they go out there and talk to anyone, if they haven't had another opinion, you go, oh, what are you talking about? Whereas at least when you're in a partnership and someone says, yeah, you're screwed in the head, that's not making sense. Don't say that to anyone else. Yeah. But you can say anything to horses.
Yeah, you can. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Do people talk and open up to the horses?
Sometimes. Yeah, there's certainly things where there have been sessions where they cannot tell a human whatever they're going through. They certainly don't feel comfortable. So I'll invite them. I said, well, that's okay. You don't have to tell me. There's never any pressure. Would you like to tell a horse? So they'll go out into the paddock and do that. And yeah, sometimes this involves letter writing. It can involve anything like that, that basically gets that intense emotion. Firstly, it unlocks it, and then it gets it out of your body.
Yes.
And then you can reconnect to something higher.
Yeah. The body holds the score.
Absolutely.
You know?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. And we want to take that rubber band ball and start taking those layers off. And that, you know, there's not really any benefit to me knowing, you know, their secret. You know, often people hold in these things that they have not, it's not like some big, deep, dark secret, like you would expect someone to be harboring some horrible, you know, mess. It's literally like something that they've resented someone in their life for 30 years, and they just think it's so silly that they feel that they can't bear to say it to anyone because there's so much shame around it. It'll be something really small, you know, that has such a massive impact on someone's life.
Yes.
So, you know,
and often because of the way they were made feel by someone else around them. You know, I've often thought the difference between shame and blame, like shame is something that someone has put on you because of something that's happened. And quite often we're so little that we should not have been jolly well blamed or shamed for anything, because when we're starting getting that shame blame going on, quite often, you know, it's the adults around us creating the environment where we've done something and then that's been, you know, laid on us. Whereas at least with guilt, you've done something, you sort of go, oh, well, I really shouldn't do that again. Once again, it's an ego defense mechanism, you know, you do something and you think, well, I really don't want to do that again.
Yep. That's right. And I think blame says what you did was wrong. Shame says you are wrong.
Yeah.
You know, you as a person. And I think that's when little kids internalize that something that they've been blamed for, but they think that they're the wrong thing, not what they've done is the wrong thing.
Yeah.
That's the blame that comes up.
Yeah. So it'll be.
It's quite organic to unpack it through the horses.
Yes. And on your the retreat day, is there any, like, are there going to be little process, like with the meditation, for example? Is there going to be like something within that where they're aiming towards, like goal setting or anything like that?
So I'm going to give people an option whether they want to have their own theme for the day. Otherwise, I'll set the theme.
Yes.
But I just want people to have that freedom to, you know, if they've had something that's come up lately, they haven't had anyone to talk to about it. And look, they might even not get a chance to talk to someone about it, but it's just a thing that's bugging them that they know they need to sort of look at, but they haven't. You can take it out into the arena and we'll do some activities with the horses. That'll be a lot of fun. And then we're going to come back and do some meditation, which will include integrating those outcomes from their session into their future moving forward.
Beautiful. People don't realize how important visualization is. You know, so your brain does not know the difference between what's real and imaginary. So when we are visualizing ourselves in a positive light, our brain is already starting to create the connections to make it happen.
Yeah, absolutely. And if we really follow that up with how we're feeling as well, like really get in touch with those feelings in those visualizations, you know, that's actually what we become.
Yes.
So important. We become our thoughts. We become our feelings. And we are actually, you know, it's a real turning point in someone's life where they go from being, you know, where the tail's wagging the dog, basically, so to speak, where their emotions are running their life and they're always on the defense, then becoming conscious that you can actually choose your thoughts. You can choose to state change your emotions. You can actually choose what your vibration's doing in any moment. So then that's a turning point moving forward to become empowered. So, you know, you might have chaos going on, but you don't have to be chaotic, you know. Yeah. And to be able to give someone, I think it's really important to find tools that connect with you personally, to then have those tools to support you moving forward, that, you know, the pendulum swing of life you know, and we're all in a little bit of a pendulum swing, but once you get a little closer to what centers you and keeps you connected, the more powerful and more empowered that you're going to be able to navigate those changes that you're going through.
Yes. Yeah, I was listening to a podcast yesterday that was talking about strong human beings, and they happened to mention Trump, and they were saying that people who know themselves, regardless of what you think about Trump, and I know most people hate him, but regardless of what we know about human beings, about strong human beings, part of them is that they know themselves. They know their boundaries. They know their belief systems. They know why they've got their belief systems. And you can't sway them because they've got this really strong innate sense of self and purpose and drive so that, you know, it doesn't matter what anyone does. They're not going to change because they've got that really innate core purpose. And they were saying the difference between that and some autocracy, for example, that's putting their beliefs on an entire planet or congregation or country is that that's not really looking at people's beliefs and everything, and it's trying to sway people and make people believe something that doesn't fit with their purpose and their core sense of self. And that's when we feel we don't feel good choosing to do something that sits against our core sense of truth or belief. Now, and this is, I think, where the coaching really comes in. If our core sense of belief is that I am useless, I am worthless, I don't deserve to be here on the planet, then that's going to be the output and the energy you're putting out there to the world at all times. If you believe I am powerful, I am beautiful, I deserve to be here, you're going to put out an entirely different energy on the planet. And who are you attracting to? Who are you attracting with those two different belief systems?
Exactly. Yeah. And that's where the coaching comes into it as well, is that we can find this, what's right for that particular person with the horses in the paddock, and then follow it up with the coaching, which is a little bit more like project management for your life. How on a practical level do you implement this? How does it stay implemented? Not something that just is really awesome for 3 weeks. How do you actually really make it stick? How do I make these habits part of my daily routine? You know, the little things equal the big things in life, without a doubt. 5 minutes a day down the track, what does that add up to every year?
Exactly.
A lot of time.
Yes.
Yeah.
So that's why people who spend 5 to 15 minutes a day doing something, they become an expert in that within a year because it's more energy that most people put in. So you flip that around. If you're spending, you know, 15 minutes a day being purely negative, what's that doing to your brain over the next year or two?
Exactly. Yep. Exactly. Yeah, and I really believe in that compounding effect.
Yes.
Yeah.
Any final thoughts before we finish off, Chantel?
I'll just say with the programs, the differences between like one-off sessions, which I'm sort of moving away from now because I'll end up putting them in my programs. But I think the important thing is getting those. Part of the program is that you'll have 2 weekends in an 8-week. Program that you'll have with the horses. So then the in-between time or the other coaching sessions will be to tie that in with the rest of your life, but also to, on the weekends, it'll be to meet other like-minded people as well. I guess my other thought on that is just that the people that you hang around make the biggest difference, you know, and we're talking about mostly like things and energy we have been, but lastly is the messages that have come up a lot this week, actually, in the herd and in the sessions are, you know, go where the love is. Absolutely, go where the love is. When there's people that will not change, and, you know, and there's been a lot of division in our society in the last 2 years, as we all know, don't try and change people. Just, you know, or bring that to the herd. You know, they can show you exactly what you personally need to know.
Yeah. Find your tribe.
Yep, that's it. That's what carries you through. I think that it all comes back to me. It all comes back to connection.
Yeah. And your contact details again?
Yeah, contact details is stridesofchange.com.au. They can find all my details on there. Everything is on the website, so it's easy to find.
And you're on Facebook. And is it Strides of Change on Facebook or you personally?
Yep. Just the same, Strides of Change on Facebook and Instagram.
Beautiful.
Yeah, you can find all the details for the workshop coming up. And the coaching program will be on all of those things.
Beautiful. Well, that's been amazing. Thank you so much. I'm tempted to come and have a session myself just to just to experience it, like it, because it just sounds wonderful. It sounds like what people need to do to just bring them back down and ground them again.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah. It's a beautiful thing. I feel like it's, I almost feel like it's not even my work. It's just, I'm just the facilitator. I'm just delivering this thing that that the world absolutely needs to be part of. So
providing some good solid universal energy to people.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Well, thank you for having me on today.
Really, thanks, Chantel. Chat. Good luck with everything. I hope the retreat is spectacular.
Thank you.
Okay. Have a great day. Okay. Bye-bye.